Hi everyone, please keep that passage open. We're going to be working through that a little bit this morning. And would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this, which is your world. We thank you for what we've heard, which is your word. We pray now, Lord, that you might help us to think more of it as we live in this world, what it is to have you as King. For Christ's sake. Amen. Well, one of the times just recently we were in the airport, we walked past the Qantas lounge and it looked really nice in there. There weren't that many people. It was quiet. And then we looked at gate 11 where we were heading and it was full of people. And so one of the boys said, how do we get in there? And I said, well, it's exclusive. You need to be a member. Why aren't we members? Well, because it's pretty expensive, I'm sure. Not how much it is, and we don't travel that much, so it's not really worth it. But it made me start to think, what are some of the most exclusive clubs in the world? And so there's Annabelle's, London. There's only 200 people who are members there, apparently. You need to get in, or just to get a form, an application form, you need two references. To get in there, you have to write a letter of why you should be allowed to go into the club. Entries, £1,000, yearly, £1,250 to stay in the club. And that's not too bad. But then there's Yellowstone Club. It's like a Christmas card. That is in America. $250,000 minimum to join. $20,000 annual fee. And then you also, to be eligible to join the club, you have to have a mountaintop house, which could be from $5 to $35 million. It's extraordinary things that people will do, pay to get into a club. Well, what does it take to get into the kingdom of God? That's what we're going to be thinking about as we work through this passage a little bit. And we're going to see Jesus interacting with a few people and thinking about how to enter the kingdom of God. What does it take to enter the kingdom of God? If you've got a bulletin there, you'll see that there's an outline with a few points on it. Before we go into point one, I just thought I'd spend a bit of time talking about what the kingdom of God is. God is establishing his kingdom, his people, under his king. And we see that at different times throughout the Bible. We see it in King David, King Solomon, God's king ruling, but none of them seem to fit the mark. And so God promises that one day he will send a perfect king, a sinless king, a king who will rule over his people rightly forever. And Jesus enters the world as that king, the Messiah. And Jesus is calling people in to the kingdom of God. So, how do we do that? Well, firstly, entering the kingdom of God is not about you. It's not about who you are. It's not about what you have. And so the first point, the kingdom of God is not about you. In verse 18, we read, a certain ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Inherit eternal life, God's kingdom. He's asking the same thing. Entering God's kingdom, you have eternal life. But did you see the approach that this man had? What must I do? Now, he's a high-powered guy. He's a ruler. He's an important member of the community. Very religious. He knows the law. Jesus throws out five commandments and he says, well, I've pretty much kept them all my life. I've lived a pretty good life. He's had a good Jewish upbringing. He's rich. He's a good guy. And so he says, Jesus, what else must I do? I know there's not going to be much. There's not going to be much I'll have to do. I'm pretty good, but what do I have to do? And Jesus says in verse 22, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. He says that to this man who has built up his own kingdom with him as the king. And so here's the defining moment in this man's life. What's he going to do? He can't do both. If you flick back in your Bibles to chapter 16 of Luke, you'll see Jesus has only just said that you can't have both. Chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus has said, no one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You can't have two kings. And here it is in action, in real life, with this rich man. Who's going to be his master? And in verse 23, we see his choice. The one thing that he had to do was the only thing he couldn't do. And so he walks away sad, making his choice. It's not about who you are or what you have or what you do in the kingdom of God. At the end of this year's Grammy Awards, apparently a rapper named Tigger, which is T-I-G-A, I think, had a VIP-only party at a very expensive, exclusive club, Argyle Club in Hollywood. It's about as close as I'll ever get to it. And so he had this here, it was VIP only. And I heard that Sir Paul McCartney, now if you're under the age of probably about 25, you might not know who Paul McCartney is, but he used to play with this little band called the Beatles. And so he's a Sir now, very important. And him and a bunch of other of his very famous friends tried to get into the Argyle Club for this VIP party. And twice he got turned away. And the reporter says he heard him saying as he was turned away, "How VIP do I have to be?" He thought, if I can't get in, how come all these other people have got in? How can I not get in? And that's exactly what the people who are listening to this exchange which Jesus and the rich man are saying. Who can get in then, Jesus? What then? Who then can be saved? If he can't get in, then what about the rest of us? This man is rich. Obviously, he's been blessed by God. He's a good guy, a religious guy. He played with the Beatles. Yet, Jesus says, the rich man wouldn't leave what he had behind to follow Jesus. You can't enter the kingdom of God unless you make Jesus your king and only Jesus your king. Maybe you've heard this for the first time. Maybe you haven't heard of the kingdom of God before. Maybe you haven't heard of having Jesus as your king. Or maybe it's the first time you've realised Jesus isn't my king. If that's you, then I want you to think about what it is that's stopping you following Jesus as king. You don't need to be rich. You don't need references from two members. You don't need to keep the Ten Commandments. You don't have to be really, really, really good. You just need to put away whatever it is that's stopping you from following Jesus. Put it aside. Now, maybe it's doubts. Maybe you've got a lot of doubts about the Christian faith. Can we really trust the Bible? Was Jesus real? What about all these other religions? What about how bad things happen in the world? Where's God when that happens? Doubts are normal. If it's doubts that are stopping you following Jesus, then don't just leave it like that. Please come and talk to me or Matt or Gordon or someone else who follows Jesus. We'd love to talk to you about those things and work them through. And you can see that doubts aren't an obstacle for following Jesus. Or maybe you think, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough for God. Maybe you think, well, I don't think I've done enough. Well, then you just need to speak to anyone who does follow Jesus, and you'll see that's exactly the reason they do follow Jesus. None of us have done enough. The rich man hadn't done enough. None of us have done enough. If entering the kingdom of God relied on what we do, or what we bring, or what we say, it would be impossible. Who can be saved? But look at what Jesus says in verse 26 to that question that they ask. Jesus replied, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." There is a way into God's kingdom, and it's God's way. You enter the kingdom of God by following God's king. And that's the second point I want to look at under the heading Following Jesus as King. Right. This encounter with the rich man in chapter 18 is surrounded by a whole lot of other encounters with less impressive people. We had last week, you'll remember, that the widow who had to really keep asking the judge and he just thought, you're nothing. There's a tax collector from verse 9 who the Pharisee scoffs at, yet he is the one who goes home justified. And in today's story, there's the children and there's this blind man. And so have a look at the children in verse 15 and 16. It says, people were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hand on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Now, we have a different view of babies and children than they did back then. Back then, they weren't cute and they weren't cuddly and we didn't laugh at everything that they did and things like that. Back then, they were pretty low in society. They had no value. The only good value that they had was that one day they might grow up to be adults and then they can help around the farm and things. And so the disciples pushing these guys away, it's not unheard of. It's not unusual in that society for that to happen. Scram! You're getting in the way. Jesus has much more importance for people to see than you, like this rich man. Get out the way. Stop stopping Jesus from doing his work. But Jesus says to them, come to me. They don't have anything to offer. They don't have anything which they can be proud of. They don't have any riches. They don't have any opposing kingdoms that they've built up. They're not self-sufficient. They're happy to be people who recognize they have a need. See, they bring nothing to bargain with. No keeping of the commandments, no riches. And it's that sort of attitude towards Jesus that you have to belong in the kingdom of God. And then what about the blind man? Have a look at verse 38 to 43. This is another scene. Jesus walks through and this blind man calls out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately, receiving his sight, he followed Jesus, praising God. You see, this guy wasn't coming bringing anything to Jesus. He was coming for mercy. If you have anything to offer, you don't ask for mercy. He had a need and he knew where to get that need taken care of. He went to the son of King David. He went to the great king, Jesus. And what did he do after he was healed? He followed Jesus, praising God. You see, that's what it means to be a disciple. One of the disciples, Peter, says in verse 28, we've left all we had to follow you. And Jesus says, yes. If anyone for the sake of the kingdom has left behind anything that stops them, any obstacle, anything that you hope in more than Jesus, anything that you grasp hold of, if you've left that to follow me, that's how you enter the kingdom of God. Ordinary people. But did you see what they all did? The children came to Jesus. The disciples followed. The blind man followed. Follow Jesus as their king. And what did the rich man do? He went back to his own kingdom, where he is his own king. You don't enter the kingdom of God because of your reputation, your worldly success, your status in society. You don't enter the kingdom of God because of your role here at church, or even the good works, even your religious rule-keeping. You can't get there on your own strength. It's impossible. But in Jesus, God makes the impossible possible. You see there in verse 31, after talking to his disciples about this and following him, he says in verse 31 where he's going. He reminds them that he's going not to a throne, but he's going to the cross. Because it's at the cross where he establishes his kingdom, where he pays the penalty for the sin committed by human beings, where he defeats death and then rose again and is sitting on his throne, ruling. It's through this that Jesus sat on the throne, and it's through this that we can be people of God when we follow him. The one way into the kingdom of God, and that's following Jesus as your king. I've already touched on if Jesus isn't your king, but I want to say again, if you don't know Jesus your king, then please come and speak to someone about it and what it means and how you do follow Jesus as your king. But I wanted to say to the people who already follow Jesus as your king, I want to say two things. First, God has shown us great mercy in Christ. Sins forgiven, eternal life. Jesus is a great king. We need to celebrate that. We need to understand how awesome that is. Be thankful to God for his mercy. For rebellious people like us, we're forgiven and we're allowed into the kingdom of God. Thank him for the certainty, the hope that we have of being with him, eternal life. A month or so ago, we visited Fraser Island, and on that island there was a creek called Ellie Creek, and a beautiful spot, crystal clear water, gently flowing. You walk along a boardwalk, jump in, and you can float down into this bigger pool. Fantastic place. But there's a lot of tour buses as well because it's very popular. And I remember seeing one tour bus driver sitting on a chair with his back to Ellie Creek looking at his bus. And I thought, man, it's lost its beauty. He's not amazed by it anymore. He's seen it before. He'll see it again. If you've been a follower of Jesus for a while, sometimes we can start forgetting how awesome he is. Don't lose the wonder of being a follower of Jesus, about why you have been called to, of how great our King is. Don't get tired of it or take it for granted. Keep reminding each other what an awesome privilege it is to serve such a good King. And secondly, the disciples in the passage saw the children as not worth Jesus' time or not worthy to come to him. The rich man, the beggar, they tried to shut down and stop him coming to Jesus. Are there people that we know, that you and I know, who we think, you're not worthy of the kingdom of God? You're not a nice enough person. Maybe you say, look at their life, look at what they're doing, look at what they're saying, look at their kingdom. I don't think there'd be people who'd want to join the kingdom of God, let alone be allowed. They have no regard for God. Why should I tell them about Jesus? His kingdom's not for them. They don't deserve it. Well, maybe they're right. But shouldn't we let God decide? Shouldn't we look at these people and pray for them that they will see how great Jesus is? Pray for an opportunity that we might have to show them of how good it is to be in the kingdom of God. We got into the kingdom of God when we didn't deserve it. No one deserves to enter the kingdom of God. But let's continue and follow Jesus joyfully, and let's look for opportunities to tell those people who aren't in the kingdom of God how good it is and for them to join. And we do that all by God's strength. Amen.